Now, folks, before we go to the next guest, I have to remind you, you can get your freeze-dried food emergency supplies from anyone, you know. Now, if you buy from us, great, but buy them. You just heard Mr. Chang. You need to get prepared, folks. We have a store. We have information there. In fact, I'll take you there now. WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. Now, look, I told you guys a long time ago that I started storing in emergency freeze-dried food for my family in 2013, 6 months supply. I then became a distributor of it in 2016 because I mentioned it on the air that I'd gotten some, and our phones blew up. What'd you get? Where'd you get it? How'd we get it? And I thought, man alive, we're spending so much money on television production. We need new cameras at the time. We needed 4K cameras. We had all kinds of equipment we needed to order. I mean, we have these switchers, and these switchers are $60,000 a piece to run all these TV shows. And we needed to get some updated equipment. We needed more. So we thought, why not promote this as a service for people, offer a service to our listeners, and then they can buy from us and support us. So everybody's winning. They need it. We need the revenue, the capital to expand, to keep pushing out free programming. So we became distributors. But the point I'm trying to make is I started storing in freeze-dried food 3 years before I was a distributor of it. So I believe this is very necessary. I now have about 2+ year supply. Someone I was talking with today said, oh, you could never store in a year's worth of food. That's crazy. You could never store in a year's worth of food. I'm like, are you kidding me? I got over 2 years worth of food. So people think, the average person doesn't realize, they're thinking a year supply of food when you go to the grocery store with cans. And they're thinking, where are you going to put all these canned food? Well, that's the great thing about this. It comes in buckets, as you can see, and it's easy to stack and store. And again, I would buy extra beyond just yourself if you need some for family or friends or to barter with, right? Or to barter with. So again, WVWTVstore.com, right now in February, and we extended for March, free freight. Look, I told you the other night, one guy, he ordered a year supply, and then a 3 month supply, and then something else. And I asked, what did his shipping come to if he were paying for it? Which he wasn't, because it's free freight right now. $517 and some odd cents. So he just saved $517 by buying it from us. We're just trying to buy it in such huge quantities. In fact, I'm even trying to buy more at a bigger quantity so that I can get my price down and thereby afford to eat the postage, the shipping. And that's what I'm doing right now. So that guy and all the rest of you that are ordering those big quantities, he saved $517 and some odd cents by ordering from us versus someone else while we're offering free freight. So you might want to let your family and friends know, okay? So we just had 9 pallets come in. We have another 9 pallets coming in, and we have another order coming in behind that. Because people are ringing our phones off the hook, when that's a good sign that people are getting prepared, the American people. So there you can go, WVWTVstore.com. Go to the top of the page. Some people say, "What? All I saw was just a little bit of stuff there, like a 72-hour test kit." Well, right now, that's right. That's all you would see if you look right there. But what you want to do is you want to go up here to Emergency Food Supplies, click that, and then it's going to say All Emergency Food Supplies. Click that. Then you got the Ready Hour Ultimate Breakfast Kit, a bucket. You got Ready Hour Mega Protein with real meat. You got veggie and snack. You got Ready Hour Gluten-Free. Gluten-free, that's very important for some of you that have gluten allergies or celiac. 1 year emergency, 4 week, 72-hour test kit, 3 month, 6 month. Now, if you see the 1 year, if you want to make it 2 year, 3 year, then obviously you buy 2 1 year or 3 1 year. If you want to order it over the phone, if you prefer to ask some questions and have them answered and want to order the phone, you can call. Libby will answer. She'll track it all the way to your door. 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. Now, let me show you this right here. Let's see. Where'd it go? Let's see. Oh, here we go. Right here. Emergency supplies. Click emergency supplies. And then what's going to pop up is going to be all the various emergency supplies that we carry, okay? So we have the water purifier in case you've got to take your water out of a pond or a lake or a stream. You can purify it, right? You might want to get an extra filter because this is good for about 200 plus, I think 200 gallons. I think that filter is good for about 200 gallons if I remember correctly. So you're going to want to have another filter on hand. So that you can pop that, yeah, there it is. filtered filtration capacity of 200 gallons. So you probably want to go ahead while you're at it, order another filter. I mean, obviously, if everything's up and running and you need a new filter, you just order one. But if everything's gone down and you can't get a reorder, you might want to have a filter or two on hand. Keep it in the package. Don't open it up. It comes in a package. You'll see here in the picture. There it is. There it is. Keep it in this. If you keep it in that, it'll store for a long, 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 long time. So if you get extra filters, do not open them. Keep them in the container. Keep them sealed, and you can then continue to filter water. But if the water goes down, you're gonna. Some of you have to, you know, filter the water. Then we show you the stove, the Titan Solo stove, right? $90. This is a cool little thing. It's not very big, particularly those living in townhomes or apartments, or even a house, and you don't have a way. You haven't taken the time to build a fire pit or whatever. You take this and you use some kindling. Very easy to do. Put some kindling under it. You know, branches, dry branches, leaves, kindling. Something that'll burn for a long enough time and hot enough to get a good fire going. And then once you do that, then you put your solo pot stove on top. And we see what we've done here is thought through the process for you. Because this is what we did for ourselves, really. To be honest with you, this is what we did for ourselves. And then we went years ago and called these companies and became distributors. We were one of the first distributors of the solo stove. I think I told you guys now a few times when I call and reorder, the one guy a few months ago said, "My, you're the oldest distributor I've ever seen, you know, in the computer system. You're the oldest distributor," meaning you've been with us a long time. Like, yeah, I was with you to the point that when I used to call, you used to talk to one of your owners. So we basically, all we did is went through the process. What are we going to need? Think through the day. What do I need? Then I would go order it. Well, then when we started wanting to offer it to our public, then we became distributors. So we're just telling you what we did, the process. Because a lot of people say, well, what are you doing? Well, this is it. This is how we came to know about this. We thought through the process. How are we going to start a fire, maintain a fire, put the pot on there, boil the water? So we go with the two-pot set system. You can boil it and make your food. Okay, boil your water, make your food. So you need to be thinking through all the different processes, all right? Canned heat, the smaller stoves, the crank radio, 4-in-1 emergency solar flashlight and AM/FM weather band radio, solar power bank, it's lights but a power bank for charging things, solar lantern with torch. So these are just a few of the things we have in addition to the freeze-dried food. Again, all of it's on our website, wvwtvstore.com or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Before we go to Wes, let me mention one other thing. If you go over to mypillow.com, Mike has a new special going on right now. Look at this right here. Go to mypillow.com. Look right here. He called me about this today. All season slippers, only $25. These were almost $150, okay? $149.98, 2 cents shy of $150. Now, with the promo code B66, they're $25. They're closing these out, and they're only going to go to one style. There's a limit of 10, okay? A limit of 10. Male and female slippers, so the men's, women's. These are awesome. I have this pair right here in the middle, the brown pair, okay? These are awesome. This is what Mike Reagan, I was interviewing him a few weeks ago, and he interrupted and said, "I got to tell you, you sent me those slippers, and those are the best slippers. They don't hurt my arthritic feet. Every other pair I've had to throw in the garbage, but these, my slippers, are quite amazing." You guys remember him saying that? Well, that's what he was wearing here, okay? So again, they were about $150 a pair. Now they're $25 a pair, okay? While supplies last, this is a closeout because they're going to go to one style only. So use the promo code B66, and I would order these for Christmas already, for Father's Day, for birthday gifts, whatever. At this price, I'd buy these babies, and I'd throw them up at the top of a closet and give them away as I needed to give a gift to somebody. But I'd go ahead and do some Christmas shopping now and put them away, and you're going to save a lot of money. So $150 pair of slippers for $25. While supplies last, limit of 10 per person. Use the promo code B66. And then while you're there, pick up sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. And that's how we fund what you're seeing tonight, which is free for you to watch. We got to pay all the bills. So here's a way for you to get some stuff you need anyway and support the continuation of the free programming you've come to appreciate. And in many ways, vital. You need it. All right. Let's go to Wes Peters, then Dr. Huff, then Aaron from Israel. Live report tonight from Israel as Iran is preparing what many say is a strike on Iran. So many things happening at one time in this world, aren't there? Joining me now is Wes Peters. Wes, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Thank you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm hanging there, my friend. I am hanging good. In there. All right. We had to cut things short last night, so we're back to where we're picking up from last night. I want to go, if I can find it real quick, all right, to a video. This is, let's go to the first clip. Tell me what we're about to see here in this first clip.
This is just a real short clip about Biden's proposed $6.9 trillion budget proposal.
All right.
And it's criminal is what it is.
All right. Let's see if that'll play. Here we go.
We're getting some headlines out here. It's hard to parse through them, at least for me to parse through them. But give us the significance of this budget.
Yeah, look, we could call this the Build Back Better budget based on what I've seen here, David, because it does include a number of big ideas that were baked into the Build Back Better plan, the social spending plan that the president was not able to get across the finish line last year. Now, as you mentioned, this is literally being released as we speak at this moment, and the president will speak to it later on today. A couple of headlines I want to get off right off the top. A $6.9 trillion budget, that's the top line, would increase discretionary spending by 5%, defense spending by 3%, remembering that House Republicans wanted a defense spending cut here, non-defense spending up by more than 7% to $688 billion. It would hike taxes by more than $5 trillion, and that's important here. Here's how it would work. A 25% tax on billionaires, David, a near doubling of the capital gains tax, a hike in the corporate tax rate back to 28%, and a higher personal income tax rate of 39.6% for people making over $400,000 a year. The president says those making less will not see tax hikes. It would essentially then undo the Trump tax hikes, cuts rather, from 2017. Also of interest here for the Bloomberg audience, it would eliminate the carried interest tax break, David. We've talked about that a lot of times before. Couldn't get that done last year either. And it would cut a tax break for crypto investors that allows for tax loss harvesting. Tax incentives for fossil fuel companies would also be cut. When you zero out here and look at headlines just now crossing the terminal, this plan, David, would add $17 trillion to the deficit over a decade.
Wow. All right.
Another $17 trillion.
Another $17 trillion.
I'm sure I don't need to tell Eugene about this new video.
All right, hang on. There we go. Another $17 trillion. So he's proposing also a 40% capital gains tax, double what it is.
How about that? How about that, Brandon? The government takes zero risk in your investment, yet they want 40 cents of every dollar.
I think that's very interesting, what you just said. Repeat that phrase. That's very good.
Yeah. So they're taking no risk. Someone's investing, doing the right thing, saving, investing, you know, trying to get ahead. And our government is going to be there with their hand out wanting 40 cents of every dollar that you make from capital gains.
So when you're responsible, you save your money. You don't blow all your money on lottery tickets. You don't blow all your money, you know, going to the casino. You save your money. You say, you know, I'd love to take a cruise, but I should probably save for my older age. I should probably
pay for your kids' college.
Yeah. So you're responsible, and you do without, and you sacrifice, and you get some money, and you invest it to put your money to work so you can provide for your family and yourself in your old age. And then the government comes along when you go to sell something and says, now that you've been so responsible and disciplined, give us 40% of it.
Absolutely. It's a mafia shakedown is what it is. You know, and $400,000, there's no doubt that someone that makes $400,000 is doing very well, much better than most by far. But that doesn't mean you're wealthy, especially if your 40% goes to taxes. You're going to pay $158,000 in taxes if you make over $400,000 a year. That's going to cut your $400,000 down to $241,600. Going to the government that doesn't have a revenue problem to begin with, they take in plenty of money. Every year they have a spending problem because every dime they get, they make sure we need to spend this and more, because if we don't, they won't give it to us next year. So they've never had a revenue problem. And raising taxes, it's been proven over history that they can continue to raise taxes all they want, and it's not going to make a difference in the budget when they continue to spend every dime and then some.
Well, that, and they can also just print the money whenever they want.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
All right, let's go to the next clip. This is U.S. Senator Tim Scott. What are we about to see here?
Tim Scott, just Jerome Powell was before Congress. And
remind our audience who Jerome Powell is.
Jerome Powell, he's the Fed chairman in charge of raising interest rates. You know, the left is taking the position, again, that it's the greedy price gouging corporations that are causing the problems with the inflation, not their out of control spending. So both sides are basically going back and forth trying to justify it. And this is about a minute and 30 seconds of Tim Scott addressing that.
Okay, here we go.
Say this. Spending and printing trillions of dollars, caving to the radical left in this country, seeing policies posited and then implemented that led to the worst inflation in 40 years, seeing our inflation at 9.1%, seeing American families struggle because of the weight of the government on their shoulders, seeing the devastation from South Carolina to Ohio, it's unbelievable that the progressives in this country who caused a 9.1% inflation would then turn somewhere besides in the mirror to see the absolute devastation caused by their out-of-control spending is remarkable. Remarkable. To stop the out-of-control inflation caused by the out-of-control spending, the Fed steps in to cool the economy. Well, the definition of cooling the economy is necessary because we've seen the most radical approach to a problem that was in our rearview mirror being used as a Trojan horse to bring in a level of socialism and spending that our nation has not seen in my lifetime.
Amen to that. So in other words, they manufacture the problem, print out money, give away money left and right, all this stimulus money, all this liquidity the banks needed anyway. COVID was a great excuse to give away a ton of money to the banks that were about to go belly up anyway, from what I was seeing back in late 2019.
Right.
From the repo market, the overnight repurchasing market, overnight loans, the government's pumping in a ton of money anyway. That showed me in 2019 there was a liquidity crisis again. And then, wham, COVID happens, which gave the perfect cover for giving the big banks and everybody tons of money. And then you have inflation, and now they want to try to fix the problem by raising interest rates.
Correct. Exactly. And if you play the next clip of Senator Kennedy, who I think he's probably the funniest senator there is and has a quick wit. Not that that matters, but he has some very good analogies and nicknames for people, and I like that.
I like him. Here we go.
We're driving inflation at this moment, but it's absolutely essential that we do slow the pace of growth, particularly for the areas of the budget.
All right, let's try to unpack this then. I'm not trying to trick you. You're raising interest rates. You're raising interest rates to slow the economy, are you not?
Yes, to cool the economy off.
And one of the ways you measure your success, other than fluctuation in gross domestic product, is the unemployment rate. Is it not?
Yes, one of the measures.
Okay. So in effect, this, I'm not being critical. When you're slowing the economy, you're trying to put people out of work. That's your job, is it not?
Not really. We're trying to restore price stability.
No, you're trying to raise the unemployment rate. I know you don't like the phrase, so let me strike it. You're trying to raise the unemployment rate, are you not?
No, we're not trying to raise it. We're trying to realign supply and demand, which could happen through a bunch of channels, like, for example, just job openings.
All right,
let me
put it another way, okay? The Economist did a wonderful study. They looked at 10 disinflationary periods in America going all the way back to the 1950s. Disinflation is what you're trying to do. It's a slowing in the rate of inflation. Am I right?
Yes.
In other words, prices don't go down. They just don't go up as fast. Deflation is when prices actually go down. You're trying to achieve disinflation, are you not?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Based on history, in the 10 times that we got inflation down, disinflation since the 1950s, in order to reduce inflation by 2%, unemployment had to go up 3.6%. Now, that's history, is it not?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yes, the standard has been that there have been recessions and downturns when the Fed has tried to reduce inflation.
Now, right now, the current inflation rate is 6.4%, and the current unemployment rate is 3.4%. Now, if history is right, I'm not asking you to again blame anybody, but if history is right, unless you get some help in order to get inflation down from 6.4%, to, let's say, 4.4%, and the unemployment rate is going to have to rise to 7% based on history.
That's what the record would say.
Okay. And to get inflation down to 2.2% based on history, an immutable fact, unemployment would have to go to 10.6%. Would it not?
No, I wouldn't.
That's what the record shows. That's what the history shows.
Yeah, I don't think that kind of a number is at all in play here.
I know you're reluctant to admit it, and you don't want to get in the middle of a policy dispute. But I think it's undeniable. It's undeniable that the only way we're going to get this sticky inflation down is to attack it on the monetary side, which you're doing, and on the fiscal side, which means Congress has got to reduce the rate of growth of spending and reduce the rate of growth of debt accumulation. Now, I get that you don't want to get in the middle of that fight. But the more we help on the fiscal side, the fewer people you're going to have to put out of work. Isn't that a fact?
Please answer.
Good work out that way.
Okay. Sir?
It could work out that way.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Could work out that way. Are you on
Biden's
mute?
Proposing.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the meantime, Biden's proposing another $6.9 trillion of spending, fighting what the Fed's trying to do. Spend, spend, spend.
Which is why we have the inflation problem. So to try to get the inflation down, they raise interest rates, which is going to create a liquidity problem, because a lot of these companies won't be able to afford the increase, our families won't be able to afford the interest on their credit card, the borrowing expenses to maintain the capital they need for their business, which means some businesses will go belly up, which means some people will be unemployed.
Yeah, exactly. Millions of people could be unemployed before this shakes out. He was pointing out history. Numbers don't lie.
And what they didn't tell us is the actual inflation rate. What did he say it was? 6.4%?
Right, yeah.
Well, you and I know that that's rigged. That real number is, the real inflation rate is probably somewhere around 15, 16%.
Right, exactly.
True or false? True or false? No, feel free to disagree.
No, yeah, true. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you look at the things that they don't count in the inflation numbers, things people need, food and energy. You know, they cherry pick the numbers they use to try and have a more appealing, you know, looking number than the true number. But people aren't dumb. People realize they go to the grocery store. You leave the grocery store, you spend $100 and you don't even need a shopping cart.
That's right. You don't even need a shopping cart. You just carry one bag out the door.
Yeah.
I went into a convenience store a few weeks ago and I bought some Pepsi. And I think it was Pepsi and Advil. $60. $60 for Pepsi and Advil.
Yeah.
I looked at my receipt. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, all you had to do is throw in a bag of dog food and you would have been over $100.
That's right. And reality is they don't use the same CPI, Consumer Price Index rating system they did in the early 80s. They rig it so that, for instance, if you decide that the cost of steak is too expensive for your family, you substitute steak for chicken.
So, ground beef. Yeah.
Or ground beef. So they don't say, oh, yeah, they're still buying they're still buying steak, and therefore that inflation needs to be worked in there. They assume you just flipped over to ground beef or chicken, and they don't touch that number. That number never comes into the equation.
Right. Exactly right. Yeah.
It's rigged. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next clip.
Here this is a good one right here. This is great. I love this one. Pocahontas. Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the Fed has raised interest rates 8 times over the last year in what has been the most extreme rate hike cycle in 40 years. The Fed's goal is to slow inflation, and your tool, raising interest rates, is designed to slow the economy and throw people out of work. So far, you haven't tipped the economy into recession, but you haven't brought inflation entirely under control either. And maybe the reason for that is that other things are also keeping prices high, things you can't fix with high interest rates, things like price gouging and supply chain kinks and a war in Ukraine. But you are determined to continue to raise interest rates, so I want to take a look at where you're headed. In December, the Fed released its projections on the state of the economy under your monetary policy plan. According to the Fed's own report, if you continue raising interest rates as you plan, unemployment will be 4.6% by the end of the year, more than a full point higher than it is today. Chair Powell, if you hit your projections, do you know how many people who are currently working, going about their lives, will lose their jobs?
I don't have that number in front of me. I will say it's not an intended consequence.
But it is, and it's in your report, and that would be about 2 million people who would lose their jobs.
There you go, 2 million people. But that's kind of funny coming from the Democrats that are spending and giving every social program under demand, which is why they keep printing the darn money.
Well, what's funny, Brandon, if you would have played that just a few more seconds longer.
Okay.
Let me do it.
Who are working right now, making their mortgages. So, Chair Powell, if you could speak directly to the 2 million hardworking people who have decent jobs today, who you're planning to get fired over the next year, what would you say to them? How would you explain your view that they need to lose their jobs?
I would explain to people more broadly that inflation is extremely high, and it's hurting the working people of this country badly. All of them, not just 2 million of them, but all of them are suffering under high inflation, and we are taking the only measures we have to bring inflation down.
Well, you know the thing, though, is inflation hurts the working people, but it really hurts the unemployed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Brandon. What drives me crazy when they do these types of hearings and stuff, he just had the perfect opportunity to look right at her without missing a beat and say, well, Senator Warren, I would tell them that their politicians in Washington on both sides of the aisle have out of control spending problems.
Yeah. And he didn't.
They don't live within their means. If you did what our government does and you tomorrow just took your checkbook and started buying everything you want, whether you had the money or not, you would be going to prison. But our government does that every day.
Yep.
Why didn't he have the courage to say that to her? I would address the out of control spending in Washington and say, talk to your elected politicians.
And of course, the feds love it because they're like a big credit card company that charge interest to the federal government. So it's like encouraging an alcoholic to keep drinking if you're into selling alcohol, or a drug addict to continue selling to a drug, person that's addicted, because that's how they make their money. The feds make their money by getting this government to keep spending money that they can't afford so that they can keep the government, the people, paying the interest rates back to the gigantic Federal Reserve, which is not a government, which is not a government entity. It's a group of private bankers given a private charter from 1913, completely unconstitutional, as the great president, first Democrat president, by the way, from the state of Tennessee, Andrew Jackson, warned.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
All right, let's go to the next clip.
Last year, I sent a letter to Congressional Budget Office Director Swagel regarding the impact that high inflation and the elevated interest rates would have on the cost of servicing the federal debt. His response painted a less than rosy picture, but then we got the CBO's updated 10-year baseline forecast in February, and it confirmed the truly dire situation that we find ourselves in. Driven by interest payments on the debt, The CBO now projects that cumulative deficits during the 10-year window, and I recognize where deficits come from. It's irresponsible spending here in Washington, but the cumulative deficits during the 10-year window will exceed $20 trillion. The cumulative deficits, not talking the debt, because it's going to grow the total federal debt to more than $51 trillion by 2033. Now, 2033 used to sound like a long ways away. We're 10 years away. 10 years goes by very, very quickly. Within 5 years, we're going to spend more on annual interest on the national debt than we spend on national defense. You think about that for a moment. And these,
you know what? That's you know, very sobering. But we go to World War III. Can you imagine what's about to happen to the U.S. dollar and the spending?
Yeah, yeah. And those numbers are from the CBO, Congressional Budget Office.
All right, I got to go to Dr. Huff. Let me ask you this. We go to World War III, and there's cyber hacking on our grid and our banks. I was talking to someone today about this. What, you know, what do you think the average American thinks is going to happen to their money in the bank if we go to cyber attacks on our banks? Do they just think, oh, well, they'll make good on it? You know, we already have the FDIC on camera from last November saying there are going to be runs on the bank, and this time there are going to be bail-ins, not bail-outs.
Right.
And some of you in this room, you have less trust in the banking system than the average American out there.
Yeah, big joke. It's a big joke.
Big joke.
Yeah.
Speak to this crisis, World War III, cyber hacking. You know, and we got a guy that's offering up pieces of legislation. We don't have time to get to it to try to stop there from being a digital currency. I don't think it'll go far. We'll see. But again, if you're headed toward World War III, as we've heard tonight from Colonel John Mills, who served on the National Security Council staff for two presidents, we've heard from Gordon Chang tonight. We're headed to World War III with China. What do you say as an economics guy about that to the average listener tonight?
Well, it's very realistic, and it could happen much sooner rather than later. And I know we have to get going, but that last segment was about stablecoin and digital currency, was that last clip.
All right. I've got to go to it then. Okay. You pushed me into it. Let's see. 156.
How long is that one? That one's short, I think.
It's a short one. 156.05. All right. Here we go. Let's play this.
Look at those as not consistent with safety and soundness.
And what about properly regulated stablecoins? Do you think they could have a place in our banking system?
I certainly think that in a world of appropriate regulation, where stablecoin activity gets the same regulation as comparable products in different places, then there certainly could be a place for stablecoins in our financial services sector.
Thank you. The European Union, UK, Australia, Switzerland, Singapore, and others have all moved over the last few years to create a legislative framework for digital assets. The European Union in particular is attempting to be a standard setter again, like it was with its data protection rule. Is the United States in danger of being a rule taker, not a rule maker, when it comes to digital assets?
I do think it would be important for us to have a workable legal framework around digital activities. I think that is important and something Congress, in principle, needs to do, because we can't really do that.
Yeah, thank you, Senator.
So what do you make of that clip, Wes?
Well, digital's on the way. It's on the horizon. And it's going to be a race with these other countries that have already been working. And she just said it right there. The U.S. wants to be a leader. You know, they don't want to follow suit. They want to be a leader in that. So it's coming. And, you know, you asked me about the cyber attacks and where we are in this the current environment. You know, luckily, you know, I know many of your listeners, a lot of people out there are taking heed and taking action and keeping some cash at home outside of the bank, 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses, buying freeze-dried food, buying gold and silver. And this is just a time to be preparing. You know, I get every day at people on the phone, we get into this, I call it the what if game. Well, what if this? What if that? You know, there are a lot of unknowns. All we can do is everything we can within our power, put ourselves and our families and friends in a better position no matter what happens, you know, and that's what I encourage people to do. Continue to do your homework, but it's a time to be proactive, because there's not going to be time to be reactive if there's, you know, some type of cyber attack or an EMP or something. I mean, it can happen, you know, like that, snap of your fingers.
And if it happens, there's no planning at that point. It is what it is. It is what it is. You could just kiss it goodbye as far as thinking you're going to spend the day preparing. You won't be able to get your funds to prepare, and the stores may not be open if they can't run the cash registers.
And Brandon, think about when COVID started, the lines before a grocery store would open, people waiting to get in to get a roll of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, those N95 masks, you couldn't find them anywhere. If there was an EMP, COVID, that's a picnic compared to what it's going to. Those stores will be empty in hours, and the supply chain is at a gridlock, a standstill.
Well, yeah. Well, you got Dr. Andrew Huff coming on next. He's been warning about the just-in-time inventory, the supply chain. He knows all about it. You're absolutely right. So, in conclusion, we've gotten some great economic analysis tonight from Wes. We've been working with Wes for 18 years. He works with Swiss America. They've been a sponsor of our organization and conferences and broadcasts for years. If you're looking to learn more about diversifying into precious metals, bullion, fresh bullion, gold, silver, or numismatic, which is 1933 and older, if you want to understand why would you buy something 1933 and older, it has to do with privacy, because by federal law, there is no reporting requirement. So it has to do with privacy. And of course, in this day of the government trying to monitor everything you do, go to a digital currency, shut you down, shut you off, cancel your bank account like they did to Mike Lindell and others. This is why people are diversifying, a hedge against inflation, massive inflation. Historically, gold and silver has been a place to put your hard-earned wealth and money. It's real money. And it, over the time, will historically weather a crisis. Things wash out. Then you sell it back and get a check and turn it into digits, or hold it for the next generation and pass it on to the next generation as real wealth. Again, this is how wealthy people through the generations, through the centuries, have preserved their money. One way, hard assets, houses, land, gold, silver, or fine art. Fine art, if that's what you want to get into. But this is what he's offering. And again, the number to call, you can put it on the screen, guys, 602-558-8585. You don't even have to call him. You can just text Wes at that number. Just text him your name and address. Wes will send you a free packet, no obligation packet of information. You can go through it, write down your questions, and then call him back and decide what's best for you. There is no cookie cutter mentality, because everybody's in a different situation. But Wes's whole goal is education, okay? Education. That's why he comes on here, so he can educate you and people can make the decision that's best for them. He's not as much as a salesman as he is an educator. That's why I like working with Wes, because I don't want someone pressuring or doing strong arm tactics on my listeners. And that's why we've worked together for 18 years, because Wes is an educator. Okay, that's what he does, and you make the decision. You're not interested? He doesn't need to twist your arm. His phone's ringing off the hook. He'll move on to someone else. Okay? But it's not uncommon for him to have 2, 3, 4 conversations with people over the course of several weeks until they've gotten all their questions answered and they're comfortable. But what I would say is, at some point, you got to pull the trigger, make a decision, because time is of the essence, in my opinion. I don't give financial advice. I give financial opinion. But I think it starts with doing your own homework with that packet of information. Just understanding what is MS61, MS62, MS63, rating on precious metals. Numismatic versus fresh bullion. Sounds confusing? It really isn't once you get comfortable with the terminology. So start with that free packet. Text him your name and address. He'll send it to you in the mail. Then you can have a conversation with him after you've gone through it. Text him at 602-558-8585. True enough? True enough, Wes?
That is very true, Brandon. All about education.
Yep.
And I definitely don't have time to chase people. And you know, it's not real complicated. Not all gold and silver is created equal. There are some things you need to know, but we cover all of that. Make sure all your questions and concerns are addressed. And if it makes sense, I know we've been doing this 40 years. We can do a great job of assisting. And if not, we thank you for your time and say, hey, if you change your mind, feel free to give us a call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wes.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. Have a great evening.
You too. Wes Peters checking in. There you go.